So hi, Welcome to the Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Mark from Hungover.
I have some questions to say about the upcoming album, When It Touches the Heart, Everything Resolves. So congrats on that. By the way, how do you feel about the response to it so far? Since at the time of recording, it's not announced yet. So how are you personally feeling?
It's been so cathartic to get the music out. Because I don't know how familiar y'all are with the storied history of our band. But we haven't put out a full body of work in 5 years.
Goddamn.
And we've been working on this record for most of that 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So there are songs that were written that are on this record that were written during the last album cycle. Like when we were working on it. So finally getting to see some of these songs come to light. For example, Reunion, the first single we put out, was written pretty much as soon as Wilt was out in the world, with the idea that this would follow up pretty quickly. But things happen and life gets in the way, and pandemics happen, and then more life gets in the way, and it pushed everything back, and it kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And it almost feels surreal that I get to say, like, oh, like the music, it's out, and other people get to hear it, and it doesn't just live in my Dropbox or an email or something. So it's cathartic and surreal, and just feels really, really good.
Hell yeah. Well,
hell yeah.
Got to listen to the record. It fucking rips.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hell yeah, of course.
Hell yeah. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
When we put out Wilt, I felt like it wasn't made abundantly clear in the branding or the marketing. That was an acronym for When I Lose Touch. And the album is called When It Touches the Heart, Everything Resolves, which is the extended form of Wither, is like the acronym. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a follow-up to the previous record.
Gotcha.
And it basically just means, like, at the end of the day, like, as long as you're leading with love and as long as you're putting your heart first, then everything will be all good. All good.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Don't want to jump the gun too much, but is the plan to kind of keep the album titles to, like, have some sort of acronym, or is it just happen to be a coincidence?
I wanted this to kind of feel more like a follow-up to Wilt. I don't know what it'll be like in the future. Hopefully it won't be another 5 years.
True.
Before we
Fingers
drop
crossed.
Another record.
Yeah.
And I could think about it a little more openly after this record is out in the world and in people's hands. We can kind of let it marinate for a little bit. On the other side of that, the guys are already writing for LP2, so I don't know how much time I'll actually have to think about.
Sounds
it,
like you're not going to have 5 years to think about it, which is good.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the goal.
Oh yeah.
But maybe, who knows? It could be a cool thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
So, the way that a lot of these songs happen is, I'll put together like a acoustic folk, almost kind of like just singer songwritery, voice memo, and I'll send it off to the guys and let them kind of mess around with it, and then we don't really get into a room and write as a band. We like to write more in studio, which admittedly is a lot more expensive than getting into a room and writing that way. But I think it's cool that we live in an era where I could go, that needs a saxophone, and then someone can program a saxophone like right away, and like there's no real limit to the sound, while at the core of everything it still is like two guitars, a bass, drums, and a vocal, like standard rock format. We do like to play with stuff, and we were a little bit more adventurous on this one, so half the songs were written in that way, maybe a little more than half, where I kind of had the chords and melody, and then the guys kind of ran with it. And then this is the first time ever that someone wrote to my vocals. So Sean joined the band during the recording process for Wilt, and he got to play on the record and made a lot of stuff a lot cooler. But a lot of the songs already existed in their current form, and we're just getting spruced up. So he we've known each other for a really long time, and he knows my writing style pretty intimately. And I've always written to my voice, but I've never had anybody else write to my voice. So it was really cool to be given like a fully fleshed out guitar idea that I could write to, where I didn't have to like pull the structure out of my brain. It was kind of already laid out for me. And I think that if you're familiar with the band, when you listen to the record for the first time, you might even start to notice like, oh, this is a Sean song, or this is a Mark song, or whatever. Not to say that it's not collaborative, but the where it starts will be a little more evident, like who it started with, I guess, is a better way to put it.
For sure. So I just have two questions because earlier you mentioned you've been working on this record for 5 years. So the first one is, because you have been working on this record for the past 5 years, is there any kind of pressure that you've put on yourself? Because your listeners have been waiting for this record and you've been holding on to these songs for so long that, like, are you a little scared to let them go?
I'm not scared to let them go as much as I am curious to how they will be received. Because while, how do I put this? While we are the same band at the core, we have, and I hate this term when it comes to records, but we are more mature. Like, we are literally 5 years older than we were. No, actually older, because Wilt came out 5 years ago. We tracked it probably 6 years ago. So we're 6 years older than when that record came out. We have different tastes. What's trendy and like what's relevant and what's hitting our ears constantly has changed. So that's definitely put an influence on the record. And I guess you could argue in that time, like, we wrote enough songs to where there could be a whole nother record in between. So when I say it took 5 years to put together the record, there is a song that was written 5 years ago, and there is a song that was written a year ago, and they are both in the same place. So I think it does. I don't think anything is to be desired from someone who loves Wilt and has been a fan of the band for a long time, but we push the envelope a little bit more. We're experimenting with vocal layers and synthesizers, and Sean comes from a more post-hardcore background, so there's some heavier elements to it in places. Some more alternative elements to it in places. And I'm curious to see how our audience has grown with us. And I know that there's going to be something on there for everyone, but I think there are some surprise tracks. And have you guys listened all the way through to everything? So Slow Motion is like way out of left field for what we usually do. Kayfabe is way out of left field. Really, the whole back half of the record is us pushing the envelope for what we think Hungover could be. And the first half of the record is kind of like, hey, like, here's an evolved version of what we were doing before.
Gotcha.
So I think as people listen into it, like, maybe in that 37 minutes or however long the record is, they'll kind of see the growth and hear the growth. And I think we've structured it that way.
For sure.
But who knows? I'm very curious to see what people think and talk about it, and see if people have questions, and to explain those questions. And I don't know, like, I'm excited for it to not be mine anymore, for it to not be ours, for people to come up with their own interpretations of things. And I've historically written in a way that's very specific to me and tells my story. But I think as I've grown as a songwriter, I'm more capable of putting lyrics together in such a way that maybe more people can relate to what I'm saying and apply it to their situations. So I don't know. I'm just curious and excited, and like, what people have said so far has been really cool. I don't know, I'm just excited to hear more of that. So far the reception is good, so it makes me feel better about it. Like, it makes me feel not scared. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's unknown, and that's fucking cool. Like, it's like a it's an adventure,
For sure.
Absolutely.
And then my second question was, because you said you only write in the studio together as a band, do you guys just do it in very, very short bursts, or is there kind of a moment where you're like, let's all get in the studio, we're gonna write a full album?
So we started writing the record maybe 6 months, no, a year before the pandemic started is
Oh
when we really
shit.
started getting into the studio. so like 2019, we were in the studio working on this. And at that point, nothing was separating us. So we were getting together pretty often, and we banged out probably like 7 or 8 demos. But also around that time, I found out that I was going to be having a daughter. So that
Oh my
changed a
God.
lot too. Yeah. That changed a lot. I wasn't able to get into the studio as much. So there would be times where I go and spend 3 days in Daytona and do as much as I can, but then maybe I don't go for 2 months. And the guys are going in there, and that format kind of worked out really well because once the pandemic did start, my daughter was born. She was born a month before the pandemic. I had a newborn at home, so I was being very careful about what I was doing because we didn't really know what we were dealing with.
Course.
And when we finally felt comfortable, the guys were kind of going in on their own individual one-on-one sessions. And thank goodness we had all these demos put together so we can kind of work off of the structure with the constant being the producer. And we didn't do a session together until probably it had gotten cold outside and then warm again.
Oh,
Like
shit.
we had gotten together like separately, like maybe two of us or three or whatever, but not all of us. So it was probably March by the time we got together again. And at that point, we had all kind of grown as individuals or whatever. We weren't really sure if we were going to stay a band through all this because the world was so crazy. And it's like, who's thinking about playing shows when everything's a mystery, you know? So we weren't really sure it was going to go on. We kind of went on a little bit of a hiatus at some point because we just didn't know. And we didn't say anything about it because no one was saying anything about anything. So we finally got back to it. And then we had all these demos that we had kind of worked on separately but together, and I don't know. And then we started demoing everything again. So we went through that whole process one more time, and then Evan actually decided to leave the band and move to Colorado. And then we demoed the record one more time
'Cause why
with
not?
new songs.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah, with new songs and new parts and things removed and things at, and it was just like we wanted it to be the best that it could be, and we wanted to make sure we were thorough. And then by the time we got to actually recording the record, we had so many different bits and pieces of these demos. We were like, I think we have enough here to where like the record's kind of like 60% recorded, and we're just gonna go in and like punch the rest out. So maybe the first 3 years of recording it was demoing, doing all that stuff, whatever. And like the last 6 months of it was just getting together as much as possible, crushing everything, re-recording everything that we needed to be recorded, getting it mixed, mastered, whatever. And that was a whole nother process. And to say that it was quick would be
An
a lie.
understatement.
It definitely took a long time and probably longer than it should have, but I don't think we end up with the product that we have without all that.
For
If that
sure.
makes sense. Fair enough.
100%. Yeah. Congratulations on the baby that is now a toddler. That's kind of crazy.
She'll be 4 in February.
Like
Oh
she's
my
starting
God.
preschool soon.
So like that's what's so crazy about re-entering this like band guy thing.
Like I'm a
And
dad now. I'm not a
thinking
band
about
guy.
playing. And I already had a son prior to that. But I got to spend all this concentrated time at home in quarantine. And like it kind of leveled up my relationship with my kids and my family and all that. And when people see like the physical vinyl, and I think we're doing CDs too. We have to do CDs. There's no way we're not doing CDs. But when they open up the vinyl in the bottom right-hand corner of the insert, it's actually the album's dedicated to them. So like it's cool to see how when Wilt came out, I was like figuring myself out as an adult. I wrote the songs before I was a parent, so I didn't have as much perspective as I do now. And then so when I go back and listen to some of those songs, I'm like, dude, what was I thinking? And then a lot of these songs are from when I was a parent onward. And now that I've been a parent for it'll be 8 years in April, I'm like, what was I thinking? Like when I'm
Yeah.
listening to this record, like the perspective is so different. And I don't know, it's just crazy to see where my head was at and what I was thinking and like what was important to me and what I felt like I needed to express at the time. I don't know, it's cool because like now I have these like capsules of like what I was thinking and feeling and how angsty I was or how level-headed I or whatever the I don't know, it's just I still don't really understand like what it means to me and why I think it's cool, but it's just I don't know. I think about it a lot. It's interesting.
For
Oh,
sure, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
what song took the longest to write? I don't know. I mean, I guess technically, Shake It Off. Shake It Off was the first song we demoed for the record, and it's changed the most since its inception. So to the point where Matt Burns, our A&R, messaged us when we put it out and said, "Happy release day. This is my favorite hungover track." And Sean in our group chat goes, "Remember this?" and sends him demo one. It was called Wolfman. It didn't have vocals yet. And there and like the he was like, "Why did we write out this post chorus?" And I was like, "Dude, this was like five versions ago. Like I don't know. Like what were we thinking? I'm not sure." But the overall idea of the song was conceived pretty quickly, as were all of these. But as far as fleshing them out and seeing the final product, that one probably took the longest. And as far as my favorite, Out of Body is probably my favorite song that I've ever written. It's like the opposite of Shake It Off. What happened was the band was touring. We were staying with my family in New Jersey. We had a few days off, and I don't even remember what the fight was about. We got in a huge fight. And I went to New York for the day with Sean the day after the rest of the guys went to New York because I was being such a fucking baby, like about whatever we were fighting about. And we were walking to meet up with one of my high school friends who works in the piercing industry up there just to say hi. And just the idea for it popped into my head. Like the whole there's a hole in my heart the size of your bedroom. Like that lyric just came to me, and I was like, "I'll be back." And he goes, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "I'm gonna be here, but I'll be back." And he was like, "Okay." And I put my headphones in, and I was like, "I'm gonna keep walking straight and just like push me, like if I need to turn or whatever." He's like, "You're fucking weird, but okay." So I programmed the chords in GarageBand on like a piano. And then I like in my like headphones, I like kind of like Simlished the melody or whatever. And then I like exported it and listened to it and typed out lyrics. And then maybe like 20, 30 minutes into our walk I had like the idea for Out of Body, and I was like, "We're gonna jam this when we get back to New Jersey tonight." He was like, "What were you doing that whole time?" And I was like, "It just came to me. Like the whole song was just in my head, and I had to express it because if I didn't get it out right then who knows if I would lose it." I have this theory that songs are like bolts of lightning to me. They pretty much come to me mostly fleshed out, and I get it all at once. And if I don't catch that lightning in a bottle, I'm gonna lose it. And it's terrifying because sometimes I will go weeks or months without getting that strike of lightning, and I'm like, "I'm never gonna write another song ever again." Like, it's over for me. So that was just one of those moments where I was like, "This is a good one. I have to get it down." And it just it evolved over the demoing process, and that's probably my favorite hungover song ever.
Hell yeah, love
Hell
that.
yeah.
So how'd the track list of the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, closer be a closer, just shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
I didn't think we didn't really write the opener to be an opener and the closer to be a closer. But as soon as we started tracking, it became very apparent the at it was not it used to be called Acid. We changed it to Candy Flip. That it became pretty apparent once we like did that like big vocal section that had to be the opener. Sean and his dad are obsessed with Queen. And he was like, "It's like Queen, and my dad's gonna fucking love it." And I was like,
Yeah.
"I don't know that it sounds like Queen, but it's a vocal arrangement, I guess."
A big
And
compliment. Yeah.
yeah, I was like, "That's cool. They think I'm, I don't know, like even close to that, but hell yeah." It became pretty apparent, and it's just like lyrically, I feel like it's very striking and immediately lets people know, like, hey, I'm thinking about other shit now. Like, I'm not, there's no songs about girls, like on the record. There's no songs about getting cheated on the record. There's no, like, I'm not in that anymore. The song is about do y'all know what a candy flip is?
Do I know who it is?
What it is.
What it is? I do not. Shane, do you know what a
Okay,
candy flip
so
is?
I'm gonna sound like a real druggie when I say this.
Okay.
And when my kids have the internet years from now and they look at me up, they'll see this and go, "Dad, what the fuck?" But a candy flip is where you take acid and Molly at the same time with the idea that they will peak at the same time, and it's this like crazy, don't do it.
No, trust me.
Don't do it. If you're listening to this right now, don't do it. But this song is about the end of me writing Wilt and me being at a lake by my parents' house, tripping on acid and doing Molly with my friend, and having like an ego death and like a spiritual awakening all at the same time. And just like the whole like, I found God on my birthday in an open field some odd years ago. We were tripping on acid by my parents' house. I kind of wanted people to hear the record and like the beginning of the record and go, "What the fuck? Like, what is he talking about? These two things are so juxtaposed. Also, it doesn't sound like what he's saying. Like they're different, and it's high and it's low, and it's deep and it's shallow, and it's coming from all these different places." And that's what I want, like, 'cause that's what the record is. It's high and it's low and it's deep and it's shallow and it's coming from all these different places because I was discovering who I was as an adult, and that's scary and cool and weird and exciting, and it's all of those things, and I kind of wanted the record to start that way, confused but sure. And then the last song on the record, Vanishing Act, once we titled it, I was like, yeah, that kind of has to go at the end, right? And the last lyrics are, "And now you're gone," and then the record ends. And I thought that was cool, and it ends on a crescendo and goes upward and kind of disappears into the heavens or not, like whatever. You know, like, and it kind of starts and ends in that same way with like a big vocal section, which is a big theme throughout the record. We really leaned into harmony and doubling and tripling and quadrupling vocals. Sean, have you guys ever seen Whiplash?
I'm not. Oh my gosh.
So it's about a drummer and like his music teacher. I think he goes to like Berkeley or whatever. Is just a jerk and is like so mean to him. And I compared our producer to Whiplash, like the movie, all the time because he pushed me like so hard vocally. And I think the record's so much better for it. But I kind of hated
Course.
him subconsciously for like 4 years.
You kind of have to, but I mean, it's long gone now.
It's all good. The record's tracked now, so it's
Exactly.
fine.
Until the next one.
Until the next one.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of intentional, but kind of an accident also.
Makes sense.
Hell yeah. It's fucking awesome. Would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
That's hard. It was in a lot of different places. I thought the world was gonna end. I didn't know it was gonna happen. I was processing a bunch. I experienced the birth of a child. I experienced the world shutting down. I experienced loss. I was making strides in my career, but like feeling guilty about like capitalizing on business opportunities while the world is falling apart. I was happy, I was sad, I was confused. It's just, I was everywhere. And I think that's I think it's crazy, not crazy. Crazy is not the word. It's wild to think that when you see people and experience people and talk to them, like we think that everyone is even keeled and sitting on this is like baseline. Like sometimes they go a little bit up, sometimes they go a little bit down, but pretty much all these people and personalities are riding the middle. But like you don't know what's going on in a person's head. Everyone is everywhere all the time. Like today, you guys have probably been happy, sad, hungry, scared, excited, brave, like all those things. And I think it's hard to really say like what headspace I was in while writing the record because like lyrically, I'm taking an inventory of my feelings, and I feel like I feel pretty big. Like my emotions are pretty gigantic, and sometimes hard to articulate or control or whatever. So yeah, it's hard to say because I was all over the place and nowhere all at the same time, you know.
It was
For
also
sure.
6 years of your life. So how can you sum that all up in a 5 minute answer to a question?
And what's crazy is it doesn't really feel like 6 years. It doesn't really feel like 6 seconds. It doesn't feel like 60 years. It just feels like time. I keep going back to the pandemic, but that was just such a big chunk of when we were writing, when we were recording and all this stuff. Like, I think it really threw off everybody's concept of time,
100%.
and how we use it. And all of a sudden, everybody had free time, but they didn't. And they had to spend it in one place. I think it just kind of threw everybody off. And so now, 6 years doesn't seem like so long, but it also seems like an eternity. Just, I don't know. I probably sound like a fucking hippie, my bad.
No, that was like my favorite answer to this question if, for the entire podcast, I think. You
Hell yeah.
fucking nailed that shit.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Hell yeah. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to the album for the first time? Should you in the car with friends and talk with headphones on? Is workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I want people to listen to it in their room loud, and I want them to lock the door, and I want them to cry and dance.
Hell yeah. At the same time or two separate occasions?
Crying while dancing is the vibe always.
For
It's
sure.
like the whole like our whole band is sounds happy, feels sad. Like the whole thing. So like but and like whatever, not specifically crying while dancing. Think about that as like a metaphor almost. Like whatever your version of crying while dancing is, whether it's sitting on your bed like sprawled out with your eyes closed or like rolling a fat joint and like enjoying it that way or like petting your dog. I don't know. Like whatever like makes you feel like you can just like let it all out. This is me letting it all out. So I invite you to do that with me, whatever that means.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Awesome. So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in three words. No more, no less.
This album for our listeners in three words. Dynamic, energetic, and emotional.
Nice.
Perfect.
Hell yeah. So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
Introspection. I don't know if that's an emotion as much as a thing that you do. But I want people to be introspective and I don't know, just think about their own experiences. So I think we're all more, we have more in common than I think we give ourselves credit for as humans. And there's struggles and triumphs on this whole record. And I think everybody struggled with something or triumphed over something. So yeah, like just I want people to be reflective.
I like that. Hell yeah.
Awesome. So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
There are a couple songs on the record that come to mind that when we wrote them and recorded them and heard them like fully done for the first time, we kind of had this like aha moment of like, oh, this is like the future of the band, and this is where we're moving after this. And it wasn't like a spoken thing, like, oh, this will be the future. Like it was like like when we recorded Think Straight, it started as like just an acoustic guitar and vocal. We even played in a couple of acoustic shows where we played it that way, like before it was even recorded. And then we were working on a totally different song, and we just needed to clear the air, a palate cleanser, whatever. And Sean, our guitar player's named Sean, and the producer is named Sean. It gets very confusing. Sean, the producer, was like, let's work on Think Straight. Because while Shake It Off was the first song we recorded for the, or we demoed for the record, Think Straight was the first song I played for everyone in studio on the acoustic guitar. And we started tracking, and we were like, well, what if it was like heavy, kind of? And what if it was like cool? And what if it kind of sounded like the neighborhood here? And what if it kind of sounded like a dive bomb here? And then we started the song with the boom, boom, boom. And I was like, fuck, like this is different. This is, we're throwing it stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. And this is gonna be jarring for people, and it's gonna reset what people think our band is supposed to be. And that's why it's song two on the record, because you get Candy Flip. It's like this big triumphant moment, this coming of age song, and then it goes psych. Like we're anxious, we're loud, and that's, I don't know, it just felt right while we were doing it, and it didn't fit anywhere else on the record, but it's so similar to certain songs where like to pr the production is bigger, the guitars are bigger, and I don't know, it just kind of informed what our band is gonna sound like in the future. I think the same kind of deal with Slow Motion, like that big atmospheric synth, like when we heard it all put together for the first time, felt really, really good. I don't know, the biggest challenge was just ourselves, you know, like when you sit on stuff for that long, you kind of start to doubt it a little bit. You're a little too close to the sauce. You know how the sausage is made, all that stuff. So when you have five different versions of a song, you kind of go to a place where you're like, well, maybe it's not so good. Maybe we do need to change this. We call it demo-itis.
Always.
Like that was probably the hardest thing to deal with, was just time and like knowing that we had this record that we loved, and then like being able to hold on to it long enough to where you doubt yourself because it hasn't been put out yet. You're like, well, maybe we're doing the wrong thing. It's just self-doubt is probably the hardest thing. Like, and that kind of lingers throughout. And but at the end of the day, we're like, well, we feel like we're writing the right songs, and that's all we really need to know. If it feels right while you're doing it, it's good.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Musically.
Absolutely. So for this question, we want you to picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
Oh, dude. What is my snack of choice? Is it at any gas station?
We like to say Wawa,
Yeah, we're
but
East Coast
okay.
people.
Okay, Wawa, Tall Boy, CZ, Coke Zero, easy. I get a hot snack. This is actually, so I'm a barber. My shop is a 30-second walk from a Wawa.
That's the dream.
My lunch today was a CZ Tall Boy, 16 ounce, of course. I got a Fiji water for after. Only the finest in this house.
Of course.
Buffalo chicken nuggets, ranch dipping cup, mozzarella sticks.
Damn.
And if I get candy, Haribo gummy bears.
Nice. You're living the dream being right next to a Wawa.
Dude, it's so cheap. Dude, if you guys need Wawa rewards points, I got you, dude. Whenever you're like, if you're like, I need a coffee now, and I don't have $2, text me. I'll send you a screenshot of my barcode. You're good. I got coffee for you.
I've been, you know, going to Wawa a lot. I lost the fucking password to my account for a while. I'm finally taking advantage of the Wawa rewards after sleeping
Dude,
on it for like a year.
I got that joint in my Apple Wallet.
Yeah,
It's
I had to put it in the Apple
good.
Wallet. I was like, it's got to be there.
I don't know why I opted into this. I let my Wawa app know my location when I'm not using the app. Not just when I'm using the app, when I'm not using the
It's
app.
tracking you.
My
Wawa knows where you are at all times.
so I manage the shop and I have an office in the back. My office is close enough to the Wawa to where every time I go in my office, my phone goes, "Are you on a Wawa run? Don't forget to use your rewards." So every time I'm in my office,
You get the urge to go to Wawa.
my phone just thinks that I am going there. And I'm like, honestly, you're probably not wrong.
Exactly. I'm probably on the way to a Wawa.
Yeah, I'm probably about to be on my way.
Hell yeah.
Fair
That's
enough.
fucking awesome. And on the topic of food, actually, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
Okay, this is very controversial. I hate that pizza has become the pop punk food.
Yeah.
I don't like it because it has a stigma now, and it has like the I love a little chunk, no Captain Chunk, but it has the hey dudes, are you ready to energy now? Like when people talk about
Yeah.
pizza and they have like the hat on backwards, and they're like,
Yep.
yeah, like
Yeah, I
I
think of that
hate
music
that.
video.
You got that shit down. Yeah.
Soupy, slappy, clap. Like that's the energy it has. It's very 2014. But we would be a Neapolitan style pizza, wood fired,
Ooh.
with basil, pepperoni, and Mike's hot honey.
Damn, the
Nice.
fucking honey too? I just
Yeah.
discovered that like a couple months ago. I
Dude,
can't
Mike's hot
live
honey
without it.
is, ooh,
It's fucking
it's
beautiful.
just, it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
The crust is a little burnt. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Beautiful.
So for the last couple of questions, we're going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
You're not gonna believe me. I had this conversation like 2 days ago.
Are you fucking kidding me? Someone beat us to it.
That's like kind of how my brain works. I'm always thinking about like hypotheticals. And so growing up, my mom, she still is a bail bondsman. And she always told me that like if I ever got arrested, she would leave me in jail for a while so I could think about it. So my biggest fear, I don't do crime anymore. Like as a like I'm not doing it in like no misdemeanors, no, I'm just like a guy.
Yeah, just a
To this
guy.
day, my biggest fear is going to jail and being on death row.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair fear, I think.
Yeah, but like you have to do the thing to go there. Like,
You have to be doing
you,
fucked up shit to have
yeah,
that fear. You're
yeah,
just
yeah.
like a guy that
You have to
manages a
be,
barber shop and goes to Wawa all
yeah, dude. You have to be
the
doing
time.
like heinous crimes. Like my threshold for crime is low right now.
And it
Like.
sounds like you're not even stealing from Wawa. It sounds like you're paying for
No,
everything
dude,
because
I'm
you're
paying.
racking up those points.
They're stealing from me, dude. Like for
No,
real.
for real.
The robbery's going the other way.
If I go to self checkout at a grocery store and I accidentally don't scan something, I walk back in and pay for it and apologize.
I got that energy too.
Like that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
But final meal, Chipotle bowl, chicken, white rice, black beans, guac, fajita veggies, the pico mild salsa, and a side of like that like Chipotle vinaigrette stuff that they have, a steak, skirt steak with chimichurri on it, Ben and Jerry's strawberry cheesecake ice cream, a beefy five layer, replace the beef with black beans, and add potatoes and tomatoes, get it
Damn.
grilled,
Nice.
a Baja Blast.
Damn
A
right.
large Baja Blast,
Yeah.
maybe a second Baja Blast, and a lot of ice in both of them.
Okay.
Can I pick a second drink?
Yeah, go for it.
Limoncello LaCroix, a
Best
little
one.
cold. Yeah, it's the
Okay.
best one. It's like a dessert and a drink. A
For
little
real.
cold. Yeah, it's not screaming cold, just a little cold. Where are you guys at? Like,
New Jersey.
I'm in Virginia.
okay, so do you have Publix in Virginia?
I think I've passed by one, but I've never stepped foot in a Publix.
Okay, Publix, bakery chocolate chip cookies. Late July, organic sea salt and lime chips with peach
Yes.
mango salsa.
Ooh.
And I think I'm probably good on that.
I
But
think you're
I'm eating
going out good.
through.
I think
Oh,
you're
hold
going out
on.
good.
And an ultimate feast from Red Lobster.
Damn. I'm
Just to
surprised you
top
didn't
it
say
off.
Coke Zero.
So I love Coke Zero. That's my constant and my steady. But there is nothing in this world like a screaming cold Baja Blast. It's just,
Yeah.
I've gone to Taco Bell just for a Baja Blast, and that's it.
That's completely fair.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think
Like
we all have here.
I love a CZ. Like it's the best, but Baja Blast is just the better, you know? Like, who doesn't love Baja Blast? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to cut back because I was drinking too much Baja Blast. I was like, I'm getting cavities. This is costing too much money. The Baja
Yeah,
Blast is
dude,
so
for
cheap, the
real.
mouthwork is not.
Yeah. It's an investment for sure. It's a big time
Yeah.
investment. And if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
If I could live in one fictional world for a week, I would get the Steven Universe world.
Ah, oh, that's a good
Yeah.
pick. Yeah.
That's Steven Universe is my Roman Empire.
Think about it all the time.
Yeah, all the
Yeah.
time.
Oh yeah.
Damn right.
I want to
All
try the Cookie Cat.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I need to rewatch that show. I was obsessed with it when I was like
It's
a couple years
so,
ago.
it's incredible. Hell
Love
yeah.
it.
And I've not asked the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Lavender.
Ooh.
That's
Yeah.
solid. Hell yeah.
Good pick.
Dude, people don't get asked that enough as adults.
We
Yeah, I'm
ask adults
saying.
that all day and we get weird looks.
Exactly.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite animal?
Oh, a marmot. I don't know what. Marmot or prairie dog. Those are my
Okay.
two favorite. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. A dog, probably a beagle. I don't know. Snoopy's pretty cool. So
You really
I just assume that beagles are cool. I haven't met many, but I want one. And
They got a
Snoopy.
good vibe about them. Whoever does the marketing for Beagles does a great job.
Yeah.
For sure.
They
For
got good
sure.
PR.
Well, I mean, it helps that they got Snoopy on their side.
They got the
I
big
love that
man.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good mascot.
Yeah, true.
Hell yeah.
So as I said, that's all the questions we have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
My favorite animal is a bison.
Nice.
I need everybody to know that.
That's a very good pick. I love bison.
What do I want to plug? When It Touches the Heart, Everything Resolves is out late February on Smart Punk Records. Go buy it, please. Go listen to it. Go stream it. Go share it with a friend. Yeah, that's it. Buy the record, listen to it, hit us up on we're Hungover Band on everything. I reply to almost every single TikTok comment. DMs are harder, but I want to talk to people and hear what you have to think and hear what you have to say, even if it has nothing to do with the music.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sal. It's been Mark from Hungover, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.